What's up, humans? Luke Rain back at you, and not with another The Human Music Podcast this time. As you might have noticed, we've been on hiatus. It is summertime, life is busy, things have been shifting for all of us, and, you know, it has not been time to record new episodes. And that's okay. Sometimes you gotta shift. And what I have shifted to is a new podcast called Create Your Life with Luke Rain. And it is a solo podcast. I'm interviewing people. I've interviewed a couple music producers already as my first two episodes. Those are out now. We got four episodes out as of the moment I'm speaking this. Six recorded, so there will be more soon. And we're going to be diving into what it means to be a creative, how we can live a better creative life. This will definitely apply to music producers and engineers and songwriters, just like the Human Music Podcast did, but it will also be broader. Like, I'm going to be interviewing people that don't only produce music, people that do other things, people that can bring wider perspectives into our area of our sphere of influence. It's like cross training, right? Like, sometimes athletes will go practice another sport to get better at their own sport because there are skills over there that they can learn from, that they can grow with. And, you know, redefining what success and failure mean for us, redefining things like why we're even creative, or what selfishness and selflessness mean, what sacrifice means, and how we can all live a more creative life. So I'm going to show you some clips from my new podcast just to whet your appetite, and drop a link down below in the description for where you can go listen to this. Please follow us and, you know, follow me and give me a 5-star review if you dig it. Show your friends. I'm gonna drop some very music producery clips in this little preview episode we got going on here. And first up is my interview with this guy, Evan Hatfield. He is a producer who is actually also like an amazing sitar player. He's this dude from the West Coast of the US, but he loves sitar. So he's become a very dope sitar player and makes like EDM beats around his sitar playing for a very unique experience. All right, so check this out, and then I'll come back with you with another little explanation about the second clip.
Dreaming awake, awaken in the dream, awaken me, changes in me, and put me back in my place with clear purpose. I know I'm on the earth because I'm here to do my work.
Modern music production technology, we have every possible sound, every possible idea at our fingertips all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's something to be said for the positives of that, and there's also kind of this negative flip on that, whereas like when you have every possible sound, every possible possibility at your fingertips, it makes decision making more difficult.
Yes.
You know,
a lot more decision fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, if you think about like producers back in the 70s and stuff like that, it's like that was the guitar take.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking about mixing engineers and stuff like that, it's like that was the vocal take. We're using it. We're making it. We're going to massage it the best we can with, you know, what we have and make it work. Whereas nowadays, it's like, there's infinite possibilities, which is, you know, can make things more difficult.
Yeah, you gotta everything like that, I find, has a double edge, right? It's beautiful to get to be able to, like, if you know, to take the guitar, you know, example, it's like, okay, cool, we got the guitar take, now I can sit here on this guitar amp simulator and all day like crank down the list of like the possible tones we can get out of this guitar, which is neat if you just like quickly pick one and you're like, amazing, moving on. But if you sit there all day inside of infinite possibility, oh, I can't decide which is the guitar tone. Whereas like back in the day, it was like, well, the guitar tone is
this guitar, this player, this amp, this pedal, and this mic. And it's on the tape. And then later on, we can like tweak an EQ or add a reverb. But there's like a limited amount of options. And I find there's a lot of ways to do that inside of electronic production too. Like just making decisions like, I'm only going to use this set of synthesizers, or I'm going to use this instrument as the centerpiece of my song, and then like use this drum kit around it and not endlessly scroll snares.
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge fan of outboard gear and hardware synths. And one of my favorite synthesizers is it's the only synth that I constantly always have set up is the Moog Matriarch.
Hey.
Because that thing is, there's no presets on it. It's all like, it's basically having like a mini kind of Euro rack situation there. It's like this, what you see laid out is the sound it's making. There's no presets. There's no like jumping through different sounds and stuff like that. And when I'm working on tracks, like I'm recording that in audio. And it's like I'm making that decision from the minute I hit record, like this is what it's going to be. Yeah. You know, I can't go in and change the MIDI notes. I can't go in and change the sound. I can't go in and like, you know, tweak different modulations on it. It's like that's the sound, we're sticking to it, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of like massaging once the, you know, the waveform is in the DAW, but I'm a huge fan of like like bounce that MIDI to audio.
Yeah, me too.
Make that decision and make it early and make it in the flow.
Yes. Yes, once you fall in love with it, commit.
Yeah.
Right? And I know a lot of people, producers in this case, but it really applies to so many things. I've taught my workshop to all sorts of people, and there's this common thread of like being afraid to commit to something, whether it's like, oh, like I'm down to freestyle my raps, I'm down to write my raps down, but then I get to the vocal booth and I'm like terrified of making this final version. Or like I'm down to jam songs all day, but when it comes to actually writing, choosing the chord progression for the song I'm going to write, whatever like it is that like makes it feel final, that perfectionism voice pops. I'm like, whoa, what if it's not perfect? What if it's not good enough? What if I find out later I should have tweaked the filter cutoff knob on that Moog Matriarch 3 degrees to the right clockwise so that it opened it up just a little more, and then my song would have been perfect. So let me just not ever record it so I can never be faced with I made a wrong decision, right?
Yeah. It's tricky. It's really tricky. You know, and also I feel like specifically in the realm of electronic music is like there's always going to be guys like Tipper out there. There's always going to be guys who are just like ridiculously good, you know. And like especially for like younger producers getting into it, it's like it's hard to not want to be a perfectionist because we're constantly surrounded by what we perceive to be perfection. You know,
yes, yeah,
that's a tricky one.
It really is,
and that's something I struggle with a lot because I'm
me too.
Personally, I'm fighting that from two different ends because, first of all, there's the electronic music production side, which is like you just have these insane producers making insane stuff, and it's like, how are they able to manipulate a speaker like that? And then on the other side of it for me as well is the Indian classical and sitar side of it, where there are 12-year-olds in India shredding circles around me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like to have that from both sides of the spectrum, and it's like that can for me, that works in two different ways. Sometimes it's hindering and cumbersome and makes it difficult to release music, to put myself out there, or whatever it is. And on the other side of that, it can, for me and for anybody else, like light a fire under my ass to be like, I am going to practice sitar for 3 hours a day, and I'm going to work on tracks for the rest of the time, you know, and really take those two things and take those inspirations and those perceived perfections from the outside and from others.
Yeah.
And flip that into a sense of motivation.
Yes. Yeah, using that external pressure as like an extra motivation. I love that. Like flipping the kind of alchemizing it, really, when it could be paralyzing, alchemizing it to be motivating. It's like, well, cool. Like there's people that are dope, and that means I can be better than I am. If they can be better than this, I can be better than this too.
Yeah.
This is, definitely. You know, it's inspirational.
Definitely.
All right. Shouts to Evan Hatfield. He and I and this guy, Nyris, from the next clip are all going to be teaching along with Aquanimous, Marillo, Siren and Seer, Johnny Buffalo, Moondrop, Lemurian, and a whole bunch of other amazing musicians at the Unisound Music Production Retreat. It's in Durango, Colorado, September 11th to the 14th, 2023. And it's going to be right there between Unison and Serenity Festivals in the same area. And it's going to be taught by the musicians that are actually performing at these festivals, some of the biggest musicians on the festivals. And I also have the honor of getting to help facilitate and teaching one of my classes. And so please make sure, if you are at all interested in that, to holler at me at Luke Rain Music on all socials, or you can just Google Unisound Retreat and find it. There's on the Unison website, there's a page, and also there's another page just for the Unisound Retreat. It's easy to Google, and highly recommend it. And then, yeah, here's some clips of Nyris and I talking about music production and creativity and the music retreat. So hop on into this one too. And then make sure to follow the link down below to go to the Create Your Life podcast and follow me over there, so you'll be in tune with what I'm doing.
I've heard the term like world base before, or
tribal trap. Shouts to Peace Sign.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Love Peace Sign. We're working on a track right now too, actually.
I just see that tribal trap and Gautier mashup that I put out a while back.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great guy. But yeah, so I think that there's like a temptation to just kind of use a lot of instruments from all over the world and kind of not really understand them at a deep level, which I think I was doing, and I probably still do to some extent. But I think my desire is to really take some of these sounds that are super ingrained in our kind of cultural lineage and put them into modern sounding music. And that's not necessarily just remixing like an old folk song or something, which I'm also down to do, but to kind of, like we've touched on a few times, to make it into something entirely new. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's plenty of people out there who are doing really cool stuff with like the toggle harpa and a drum, or kind of making, or like, I don't know, cosplaying as ancient Scandinavian pagans and doing the throat singing and stuff. And I'm super down with that. I really like it, but it's also kind of, it's been done. Mm-hmm. And so what hasn't necessarily been done to the same extent is, let's take this traditional sound and make it into something totally new.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Snow Raven, actually, mm-hmm. who's also going to be at Unisound.
Yes.
And her bringing this authentic, like shamanic lineage to really cool modern music. The stuff that she does with my roommate, Johnny Buffalo, is like, he's from New York, you know, beatboxer, like grew up just enmeshed in hip hop culture. And then she's from Siberia, you know, just like straight indigenous, like, you know, talk about ancestral magic. I mean,
yeah. It's like,
you know, he doesn't get any more pure than that. And then to have these two seemingly opposing ideas united, and when they go and do beatboxing and performing together, it's this amazing magic harmony of these seemingly disparate ideas.
I like how you put it, seemingly disparate.
Yeah.
Because when it comes down to it, it's all music that humans on this pale blue dot in space made. Like, how different could it be?
Right. Exactly. It's all from the same source. And so I think early in my career, I was just kind of making beats and being like, I just want this to sound cool, you know? But now that some time has passed, it's kind of like, all right, what's the intention that I can kind of bake into this music? What's going to live in it that will touch something inside of someone, even if they don't really realize it? How do I infuse this degree of authenticity and intention into what I'm doing in a way that really speaks to people or resonates with them? Because we're kind of communicating at this like sublingual place. My subconscious is speaking to your subconscious. That's that's a hard thing to access, you know? And we try to communicate our desires and our dreams and our hopes through language, but ultimately the reason we keep making music is because so much of that stuff is beyond our ability to express with words. And we've known that for thousands and thousands of years. We've always known this before there was anything resembling writing or probably language, honestly. I mean, we've always wanted to unite and feel heard and seen and part of something bigger by expressing it through music. And I think it's easy to lose sight of that. So hopefully what I can do with the Nyers Project is really get to the roots of what it means to be part of a community that has a voice and wants to share it and wants to have an experience that is reflective of the experience that a listener is having and says, wow, this speaks to me on a primal level, but it's also exciting and engaging and I feel inspired. So it's a kind of a lofty idea, I guess, but you know, that's gotta set the sights high.
Amen. Yeah. Aim for the moon, land in the stars. Whoever said that didn't really understand astronomy, but I like where their head was at. You know, like we said, language is imperfect. You know, these are all symbols that are subconscious is attempting to talk to your subconscious through the conscious, through language, through symbolism, and hopefully it gets decoded in a way where some of the message makes it through that weird telephone game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a two-way street. I mean, I think the beauty of art or music is that it's a participatory experience. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're engaging with a piece of art, you might feel things and you probably will feel things that the artist didn't anticipate.
Yes.
And maybe you'll feel some things that they anticipated or not, but it's really cool to think about people engaging with music or art in a way that's like, it's totally up to you. No one can tell you how to appreciate a piece of music. so it's like, you can kind of, once it's out there, you can kind of feel however you want to feel about it. You know, I always feel a little funny about releasing music that way. It's like, now this kind of has a life of its own.
Yeah.
I'm no longer controlling it. It's just, it exists outside of me. And it's this little jewel that I've taken from inside myself and made into this little capsule for people to experience. But yeah. I don't have any say in how they experience it.
Yes. I once read that all art is a love triangle. The artist has a relationship with that art that has very specific things going on. You know, it's got its beauty, its inspiration, its difficulty, its challenge, the imperfection, the where we see how we should have done it different or wish we had a more skill or something, right? We have this complex relationship with our own art and then we give it to the world and then that art meets the audience.
Yeah.
And the artist is only this like, idea over there of somebody else. It's like dating somebody who's dated somebody before, right? It's like, right. Oh, like you had that relationship with that person and now you have this relationship with me and they're distinct. And you know, the art is still there in both relationships, but that interpretation and the way it's appreciated can be completely different. They might be like, oh, this relates to, you know, getting off of alcohol because that's what that person's trying to do right now. And the person was like, oh man, I just thought it was pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have a struggle with alcohol. I didn't know that's what it was going to be interpreted with, but beautiful how it's able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we keep bringing up this wonderful, wonderful thing coming up, the Unisound retreat. And we met at a similar retreat this year, the High Vibe Festival music retreat, which was absolutely incredible. Like, oh my God, like I made so many friends.
I
got like dropped into this beautiful community, getting to be in this container that's like intimate and like small and like, you know, so many people sharing their deep gifts of education as teachers, so many people sharing their deep gifts of presence and attendance and just co-creating this event together was so cool. And we get an opportunity to do it again, September 11th through 14th near Durango, Colorado, right nestled between Unison Fest and Serenity Fest. And the artists from these festivals are going to be the ones teaching the classes.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. Huge portal. I mean, these types of retreats have been so valuable to me, both in my personal growth and in my growth as a musician. The very first one that I attended was Solar Sound. It was about 3.5 years ago.
Yes.
And not only leveled up so much of my production knowledge, but I felt like was so emotionally enriching that I met my wife like 2 weeks after the retreat ended or something. And I felt emotionally primed for that because of this amazingly connective and growing experience that I had just had. And I might've turned out differently if I hadn't gone, you know. It's not, I'm not saying that if you go to this retreat, you're going to find the love of your life or anything, but it did happen to me.
it's not impossible. As
no, exactly. And so now, you know, I've been to a few of them. I've taught at a couple. And each time I've met at least one person and probably a handful of people that have become collaborators and friends. It's where you and I met. I mean, it's just such a really cool way to connect and share music. And just, if you've never been in a container like that, it's honestly mind blowing. I mean, so much of our lives, especially in the modern world, are kind of spent in isolation. And a lot of artists spend this time in isolation as well, because let's face it, being an artist is difficult, and not only difficult financially, but difficult emotionally too, if you're not spending time with other people who are familiar with the creative process or familiar with the angst of being unable to do something the way that you imagine it, or whatever the one of the myriad struggles that artists face. And so to be in a place where there's, you know, 30 other people that kind of speak the same language as you, have the same parlance for understanding life and how to navigate it. And then not only that, kind of witnessing them and being like, wow, you're super dope. We should actually work on something together.
Yes.
You know, it's where I met Zen Tempest at one of these. I met him at Solar Sound as well. We have a couple of tracks together. And then we're doing an album that's coming out early next year that's already been produced. So it's like,
yes,
the possibilities are limitless as far as the connections that can happen. And yeah, I can't even imagine how great it's really cool to kind of know that that experience is going to happen and be like, wow, who am I going to connect with this time that I don't even know? What lifelong friend or collaborator am I going to meet this time?
Yes.
So that feeling of anticipation is great, and kind of embracing the magic of that unknown factor. I think it's kind of almost close to sold out too. I think there's like 8 spots left or something.
Yeah, it's down to it. So anybody who's interested, like, hop on.
Yeah, now's the time. Yeah.
Dreaming awake, awaken in the dream, awaken me. Changes in me, and put me back in my place with clear purpose. I know I'm on the earth cause I'm here to do my work.
All right, humans, thank you so much for being here. with us for these years, these 3+ years that we did the Human Music Podcast. I really appreciate y'all, your support, your loyalty, your questions, your feedback, everybody who jumped in the chats with us when we were live streaming, everybody who showed their friends. It's a beautiful run. We still got a few more episodes in the can that I'll put out sometime this fall, one by one. And we've also got the possibility that the podcast may or may not come back at some point. Right now, I have no idea, and that is okay. The future is uncertain anyways. Security is a myth. But yeah, please go follow me on Create Your Life with Luke Rain. Links down below in the description. I appreciate all y'all for being here and for being cool, for being humans. Thank you so much. I love you. Holla.